everything else in the world and what we see on the news and so much happening, Lord. It's often pointing to chaos, Lord, pointing to end times, Lord, pointing to crazy times coming up and even what we're in, Lord. We thank you that you are so steadfast, Lord. You are so secure, Lord, and we are secure in you, Lord, and we are safe. As your word says, that we can run into your presence and be saved, or we can, your presence is a fortress for us, Lord, and your name is a fortress for us, God. We thank you for that, Lord. And this morning we call on your name, we call on the name of Jesus, and we thank you that we can draw near, Lord, and we can dig into your word, and we trust, Lord, for a revelation knowledge this morning. We trust for impartation of life, Lord. We're not here to even discuss any opinion, Lord, of man, Lord, but we want to receive life from your very lips, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. And we, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to have your way in and through us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So last week we looked at, let's look at the first scripture there, Matthew chapter 25, the talent of the parable of the talents. And we looked at this scripture, or this what the master tells the servant that was faithful, and he says, his lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." So, and we had a brief look at the dynamic of us here on earth in our physical bodies in life is actually a vapor, just a very brief moment before we enter into eternity, before we enter into what we were actually created for, our eternal destiny. And the crazy dynamic between a relatively very short moment almost on earth compared to eternity, just a moment that determines so much of where we will spend eternity and how we will spend eternity. And we looked at how our works will be judged. That was a sobering thought. But the amazing thing is, so when we respond to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we are sure of our eternal salvation. We are sure of our eternal destination. Okay? But then there's that aspect of what do we do with the call of God on our lives? How do we respond to His purposes and His plans? And how do we, and that determines very much what we be entrusted with in eternity. What will we spending our eternal destiny doing? So we were looking around that. And this morning, you know, we're nearing the end of the year. Can you believe it? It's I don't know. Maybe it's age. It just feels it going quicker. It must be age. But it just feels like time is not getting slower. It's getting quicker. But you know, some of us are planning ahead. Those folks that are really organized have already planned ahead for next year. Everything is in place. And holidays are planned. You know, we've got lists of things we might want to do next year. Looking forward to stuff. Some of us are, maybe there's certain things that you're bracing yourself for for a year coming up. The picture I had while preparing was that of, you know, there's few things that are so satisfying as to climb a mountain where there's a great view. And I must say, I'm looking forward to when my children are a bit older that we can do stuff like that. Because at the moment we're outnumbered, so if we had to carry all three up, it would not be pleasant. But, you know, there will be a time when they can carry themselves up on mountains and things, and we can enjoy stuff like that together. But the picture I had was of families climbing a mountain, quite a steep one, and the thing is with the mountain, and especially one where there's no specific route, is that you're looking up all the time, and you're trying to find a route, but then if it gets really tricky, you're almost like focusing here, and you're busy finding the best grip, or the next best place to go around obstacles. But one of the most satisfying things, and what I feel that God wants us to do from time to time, is to stop and to take a breath and to turn around and to look what's behind. Because even on the way up, if it's a steep climb, it's so great. Every time you've gone a couple of 100 yards or so, the view is different. Even especially if you're kind of traversing, if you're going sideways or up, you know, cliffs and or up valleys and things, the view is different, and it's so great to stand and look and think, wow, actually we're far from the top, but actually we've come a long way, and take a moment to take a breath and to enjoy the scene. You say, look, there's our car that we parked down there, you know, or you know, just to enjoy the view. Sometimes, obviously, if it's cloudy, you're stuck in that cloudy bit for a while where there's no view. But then it's amazing when you actually get through that bit and you can actually stand it. So that's what one of the things I felt is for us and that's what I want to encourage us with as families and as individuals, to trust God for time towards the end of the year. Now, this is, I know, is a crazy thought to have time to think about stuff like this, but to just make time to stand still and to look back and to give thanks to God for His goodness, to give thanks and to say, well, you know what, I know for many of us, you know, when we share stories and when we have a chat together, there's many of us that have had challenges this year and are working through them. It's interesting how the Lord is, you know, having us wrestle through everyone their own challenge and some of them collective. But at the same time, it's good for us to look back and say, wow, God has brought us far this year, and He's been good to us, and He's been faithful. And yes, some of the climb has been steep. Maybe you're thinking, actually, I'm on the other side, I'm going down, but downhill. But that's similar, because you have to sit down there and take your eye off the track and just enjoy the view a bit. So, you know, I'm aware that some of us have had challenging seasons, but trust God for a few moments towards the end of the year and entering next year, where you can actually stand and look back, take a breath and say, wow, God is good, and He has brought us far, and He is faithful. And at the same time, what you also do while you're taking that breath is you look up, and you for a moment you're taking your eyes off the next few steps and you're looking ahead, and it's so great to plot your route a bit, to say, okay, you know what, if we're going to avoid that cliff, we're going to have to come a bit this way. Or if we're going to, that looks like a bit of a marshy or a bit of unsure ground. So if we want to avoid that, let's try and go up this bit here. And just take a moment to look towards what's lying ahead for the new year. And to pray through that as well, to trust God for inspiration and for direction. And what I want to say to us at the beginning of the, let's quickly read Psalm 18. Now this, I don't know if the contrast will be good, but yeah, not so bad. All right, Psalm 18 from 28. For You will light my lamp, Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For You, by You I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of Your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. And, you know, while we're looking ahead to meditate, as David does here, on who God is in our lives. Who is He? The one that doesn't make sure that our feet don't slip. The one that trains our hands for what we need to do, the one that sets us and gives us sure footing on tricky bits that we navigate over, the one who is a shield to all who trust in Him. And just to meditate on that, on who He is. And I want to take it a step further, and I want to say looking into a new year and maybe a new season for us as a congregation, and for some families also. But to for a moment to dare to dream, to dare to think, what would be possible if there were no restrictions, or if there were less restrictions? You know, if you often when you know people are praying through, you know, what is God saying to me? You know, what is God wanting me to do? I often challenge people: pray. What would you want to do if money was no object, or if you had more time? If you had all the time in the world, what would you want to do? What would be very important for you if you had more time? What would be very important to you if you had more funds or more resources? And it's challenging because often then you can actually hear the purposes of God coming through on people's hearts. And the challenge with that is, does that mean I need to maybe adjust some things that I can make time for that stuff, or I can make resources available for that, because those are the things that God is actually stirring my heart with. So think for a moment. Okay, so let's look at restrictions like we said, our resources, time and money. What would your life look like? What would you want to do? What would you want to spend more time on if that wasn't such a challenge? And so I'm not expecting you to answer that now. I'm just throwing things out there that you can be meditating on. I'm reminded of the story in 2 Kings, or the account in 2 Kings 4. I'm not going to read it now, but it's the widow, the lady was widowed and left with nothing. And as far as I remember correctly, she had two sons. And so it's not on there. Two sons and nothing to provide for them. And coming to the man of God and saying, "Lord, you know, you need to help me, please. You know, what am I going to do? What should I do?" And he told her to collect any possible vessel that she had, in anything hollow, basically, in her house. And I think they just had a bit of a jar with a bit of oil, if I can remember correctly. And he said, just go to the neighbors, go and get as many jars, go and get as many vessels as you can find, and then pour into the oil into these vessels. And obviously the miracle happened, and the oil just kept on pouring. And for as many vessels as she collected, that's how much oil came. So that's my challenge to us, is that in that situation, the provision of God, the miraculous provision of God for her, was linked to her expectation and her stepping out in terms of fetching, and her, you know, in terms of capacity, creating capacity. So she went to neighbors, she went around, and obviously one can think, okay, maybe she should have gone to the local municipal pool or the local health club and said, listen, can we empty this thing, you know? But so what I'm saying is, when you're praying about the year ahead, think about what would it look like if you had to create more capacity for God and His miraculous provision, and saying, okay, Lord, if money was no object, what would you have me do? We were spending some time with family yesterday, and obviously, I don't know, many of us have family in South Africa and different parts of the world represented here this morning, and there are challenges in different parts of the world, and there are different things happening. And back in South Africa, we're from, there's also some challenges happening and some interesting developments, and the exchange rate is a bit of a joke, and the rand is like in free fall at the moment, type of thing. And I could see in some of the conversations we had last night, it was almost like some of the guys were like, "Are you sure about this thing? Are you sure about going back to South Africa?" And And I actually want to have a conversation about that. We didn't end up having a conversation last night, but to sit down and to think about, yes, you know what, if you're looking in the natural, that's definitely not the main destination that people are flocking to now in terms of economic security and stuff like that. But when you are convinced of the will of God, and when you are convinced of the call of God, there's a different dynamic that comes into play. And you start fetching vessels, even though there's nothing in your house and there's no more provision. You have an expectation of the goodness of God. And I want to challenge us, and I want to dare you to remove the restrictions from your expectation of God for the new year. I was just earlier in this year, and even I think last year we prayed through this and spoke about this, where there's as if. And this is not unique to here, but there's as if the enemy is trying to put a ceiling, a glass ceiling over us in terms of our expectation of what is possible for God. And it's as if he's, through many times kind of things, trying to press that down on us as low as possible, to a point where we almost, you know, we almost struggle to relate to the God of Scripture. The one who heals, the one who raises the dead, the one who provides like this for this widow, and it's as if we're struggling to connect with that God of Scripture. But I want to say to you, you and I, as we pray about next year, get rid of that ceiling of what is possible to God, because the Scripture is clear that nothing is impossible for Him. In terms of us praying through, Lord, what have you prepared for me in my workplace or in my family or in my community or whatever things that you're trusting for? Get rid of that ceiling. Get rid of those restrictions on what seems possible for God. Hallelujah. Okay. When we, a week or so ago, we looked at the story of Jairus and his daughter, and I'm not going to read it now, but it's the account where Jesus is, you know, heals the lady. The lady who touches the hem of his garment, she's healed, but there's a little bit of a delay because he's on his way to pray for this girl, and there's a delay, and he's still on his way, the news comes that she's died. And there's the moment where the father receives the news. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus any longer. It's too late. And there's that crisis moment where Jesus responds to that, and he says, "Do not fear." He reassures, says, "Do not fear. Only believe, and your daughter will be made well." So he responds to that crisis that it's too late. There's nothing more to be done. She's died. You know, there's nothing more that can be done. He responds, and that's how often do we find ourselves in a pinch point like that, or place of, you know, there's no more room, or there's no way out, or there's no other option, or there are no more options. And Christ says, "Do not fear. Only believe." And I want to say to us that when we're looking towards next year, do not fear. Get rid of fear. Get rid of those things that want to restrict us when we trust God for something. Only believe. Lift your eyes to Him. Lift your eyes to see what route has He got for you. But, you know, spend enough time enjoying the view. But lift your eyes and know that he asks us to believe. He doesn't ask us to strive. He doesn't ask us to do a lot of stuff. He doesn't ask us to earn His love or His acceptance. He doesn't ask us to perform for Him. He says, "Believe, and she will be made well. Believe, and anything is possible." Amen. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 9, 8 to 11. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. His grace abounds toward us, and he absolutely guarantees an abundance for every good work. So now we're taking it to another level. I want to say for a moment, if you think of a situation you find yourself in now, or you think of a, if you have to close your eyes and get rid of all the restrictions and all the limitations and think of the best possible outcome or the best possible place you can find yourself in the next few months or position or situation, whatever it is that you're trusting for. If you had to kind of get rid of all, you know, get pessimism and cynicism and a really dream, then I would say to you, far short of what God has in store. You're not even close to what he has in mind for us. And let's be clear. I'm not talking about a comfort zone. Okay, I'm not talking about a Ferrari. I'm not talking about just provision in terms of what we need physically. I'm talking about connecting with the heart of God, connecting with the abundance of life, and walking in the abundance of life that he has for us in Christ, and which is not always linked to our physical comfort. Okay, now this is not popular gospel, I know this, but this is the reality of life that Christ calls us. He says there will be tribulations, there will be challenges, there will be hard times, but that is not what he is preparing us for. That is not what he is, he's not called us to be in a comfort zone. He's not called us, you know, that's in a comfort zone where we just veg. Guys, let's just be honest, there's nothing that happens there. There's nothing blessed that happens there. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's because, you know, when you have small children, you have a lack of sleep. As you, most of you know now, we're heading towards Pretoria. Sorry, you guys don't know yet, but we're going back. This Pastor Carlos and them are coming. And so Pastor Philip sent me this link to do a personality profile. So that we can all, you know, understand where we're at and understand the team, and it helps to kind of, you know, see how we operate and stuff. Anyway, so he says to me, do this thing, this personality thing, when you are well rested, relaxed, and not stressed, and in a good mood. Thinking, I can do some of them, the good mood I can do. But you need to give me like a couple of years for the other ones because, you know, anyway, so we had a chuckle about that and said, I'll do my best. That's all relative. But where was I getting to? So if we take away all of the restrictions and we imagine the greatest possible outcome, I want to say to you, God is more. He's got more in store. He's got better things planned. Let's look at Ephesians. Actually, not yet Ephesians. Where are we now? Psalm 23, very briefly. 46. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even in the presence of everything that wants to come against me, God prepares a table for us. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've You guys, I don't know if it works like that in Indonesia, but like if, you know, some of you will know, when we visited India the first time, I made the mistake of one day in Bangalore I made the mistake of paying some attention to one of these guys that wants to sell us something. made a little chest set, and I just thought I'd be polite. I said, "Wow, that's really amazing! It's a really good, beautiful thing you've made, but I'm not going to buy it. I don't have money. I'm just trying to be polite, you know, being nice." And I kid you not, guys, that guy was my shadow for the rest of the day. Okay, yeah, maybe you sound familiar. So he stuck with us the rest of the day. When we went into a shop, he waited at the door. And when we came out, he was there again. He obviously very persistent, and he was going to make the sale. Oh, shame I broke his heart. I didn't buy the thing. But the goodness and the mercy of the Lord is like that, guys. You can't shake it. Amen? It's there in the morning when you get up. You know, it's there at night when you go to sleep. It's there when you're screaming at your children. It's there when your children are being good. Surely the goodness and mercy of the Lord will follow us, guys. You can't shake it. Amen? I want to say, when we expect things from God for the new year, let's think of it like that. That's one guarantee we have. The goodness and mercy of God are with us. And we will be in His presence. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But I want to take it one step further. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9-12, it says there, now in terms of us imagining things now, it says here, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man things which God has prepared for those who love Him." It's way more than you can imagine. But God has, now this is the key bit actually, we love that first bit, "But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit researches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Okay, there's a lot in there about this spirit and our spirit, the world. But the key here is, guys, it's way more. Okay, it is exceedingly abundantly above. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It hasn't even entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for us. But, and here's the key, I feel, we need to be operating in the Spirit to be able to have a revelation of those things that God has prepared for us. To have an understanding, it says here that, "But this we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us." How often do we find ourselves wrestling through life, little bit in the flesh, missing the good things, missing the abundance that God has prepared, wrestling through challenges, and then doesn't happen to you guys, but I often find myself wrestling through a situation, and then in hindsight, I can see the path that God has actually had for me there. And I'm like, yeah, in the jungle type of thing. But He says, if we walk in the Spirit, and if we are hearing in the Spirit, and if we are connecting with Him in the Spirit, we are able to hear and recognize and see those things that God has prepared, which are, you know, which we can't even imagine. But God wants us to know. It's not like doesn't want us to know. He wants us to know what are those amazing things, and He wants us to have them. He wants us to go towards. He wants us to walk in the way that He has prepared. Amen. So part of the challenge, or the frustration I had last night, or not frustration, but expectation of another conversation was to challenge the guys to say, listen, there was a time where I was also wrestling through things in terms of where should I be. And I was talking last week about when I was wrestling with God about should I be in ministry, or well, I don't know what ministry I said, what should I be doing. I remember I spoke about coming to the point, I was in the Air Force and I was studying engineering and I was on a path, and I came to that place of desperation. Absolute desperation, saying, "God, whatever it takes, I want to be in your will. And you start praying those dangerous prayers. You know, those like risky ones. Lord, I'll go anywhere. And God takes them very seriously. Praise the Lord. So, but I want to hold that before us this morning and say, guys, when last did you give God a blank check? When last did you pray those dangerous prayers? When last did you connect with the Spirit of God to a point where you start seeing glimpses of the destiny that God has and then actually say, Lord, you know what? Your will be done in my life, in my family, and not my will. When last did you say to God, you know what? Here it is, blank check, whatever you want. I know it's maybe even more scary when you have a family or when you have plans and when you're somebody that organizes 5 years ahead, it's more tricky. But I want to say, guys, that yes, it's a bit of a roller coaster. Yes, it's a bit scary, but there's no better place than having an absolute conviction that this is where God wants me to be. This is what God has prepared for us as a family. This is where He's leading us. This is what He wants from us. So I want to say to us, pray. Seek the face of God for what's coming ahead. Press into Him. Remove all the restrictions. Repent of fear if there's fear. Trust God to break through any glass ceiling, any ceiling of expectation of the living God. And it's time to, you know, gather vessels and express our expectation, then let's do it in like extravagant abundance. Say, Lord, with you is nothing that is impossible. And I want to pull it through to our God, what we were talking about last week in terms of God, the call of God on our lives. When we're ready to say, Lord, I'll give you a blank check. And whatever you require, whatever your will is, that's where we will go. That's what we will do. And to recognize, you know what, it might not be the most comfortable thing. It might not be the most popular thing with my family. When I came to my parents with this revelation and full of excitement that God had called me into the ministry, they were not jumping up and down. They were like, what, you know? Anyways, I think they're getting it now, slowly. It's been 10 or 15 years. Anyways, but it's not much popular thing always. But to come to a place where we could say, God, for next year, let's take all the restrictions away. I want to trust for your kingdom to come in my life and through my life like never before. In my family's life and through my family's life. We exist for your namesake. We are designed for your purpose. We are called in your name. And there's no other reason we are here but for your glory. Let's stand this morning. We can pray. Father, we thank you that we can start this morning saying, oh, happy day when Jesus saved us, when you washed our sins away, Lord, that you came to save us, Lord. You died on a cross, Lord Jesus. You endured the cross and you despised the shame that for the word scripture says, for the joy that was set before you.